Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, January 17th, 2019. Thanks so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon here, live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Got a great show coming your way. A busy night in the world of Michigan State basketball as both Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams in action. The men on the road taking on Nebraska, while the women will be at the friendly confines of the Breslin Center playing host to Maryland. So we will preview the men's game against Nebraska, which I think have a lot of implications as the year moves along, because I think this Nebraska team is a pretty solid squad, and this will not be an easy game for the Spartans. And on tomorrow's Current Sports, I'll be providing coverage because I'll be at the women's game tonight against Maryland. We'll have some coverage of that on tomorrow's Current Sports, all right? So we'll talk MSU hoops on today's Current Sports. We will also dive into the new man in charge of the Detroit Lions offense. You'll find out who that is in just a moment if you don't already know, and you'll get our thoughts on that. We hope to have on the show today, finally, Jim Comperoni, publisher of SpartanMag.com. We were supposed to have Jim on yesterday, and Jim locked his phone in his car. So just some bad luck with Jim this week. Hopefully we'll get him on today, all right? And then on the back end of the show, it is Thursday. We have not had this segment in quite some time because of just the ebb and flow of a Thursday edition of Current Sports. But we hope to bring to you Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at the big sports events in sports history on this particular date in sports. I want to give a big shout out to the GOAT, though, Muhammad Ali. It's Ali's birthday today. How about that? Happy birthday, GOAT. We certainly miss you here on planet Earth. I know you're doing some great things above. But yeah, it's Muhammad Ali's birthday. The greatest boxer of all time, in my opinion, one of the greatest athletes of all time. May he rest in peace, right? Also, you know, this story derailed the show yesterday, and pretty much the entire hour was dedicated to the breaking news concerning John Engler, who at the time yesterday, you know, 24 hours ago, you know, we didn't know whether or not John Engler was going to officially step down. The board basically said during this time yesterday that, you know, if you don't step down today, during the following morning's 8 a.m. Board of Trustees meeting, you will be fired. So Engler decided to bow out and hand in his resignation, which will be effective come next week. And we've got some audio from this morning's Board of Trustees meeting that we'll be playing for you guys, all right? So that will also be a part of this hour. If you would like to let your voice be heard throughout these next 60 minutes, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream. And yes, folks, I know technical difficulties right now. Those who are tuned in on the live stream, I don't know what just happened, but my phone fell from the tripod and you are staring at the ceiling right now. All right. So I'll fix that when I have a breath in just a moment as we usher in our quick hit headliner. So, yeah, technology, folks, gotta love it. You can also weigh in on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. I stated, and as we have been covering extensively, a big shout out to our WKAR news team for following this story closely. As you know by now, or should know by now, the Michigan State University Board of Trustees this morning actually named Satish Upta to be the new interim president, replacing John Engler, who was forced out. Many trustees said Upta brings integrity back to the position. And in just a moment, we will be playing you audio from this morning's Board of Trustees meeting, which officially confirmed John Engler no longer being in the interim role as president of Michigan State University. You will get to hear from a few Board of Trustees members. That and more. All right. But again, John Engler, no longer the interim president here at Michigan State University. All right. Michigan State men's basketball hits the road for the second straight game, visiting Nebraska tonight. Tip time at 8 p.m. at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Michigan State enters tonight's game with a 15-2 overall record, a 6-0 mark in the Big Ten, an 18-game Big Ten win streak dating back to last season. The Spartans, ranked number 6 in the Associated Press and USA Today coaches polls, have won 10 straight games. Nebraska enters the game with a 13-4 overall record and 3-3 mark in Big Ten play. Did not know this stat until this morning. Nebraska is right now riding a 20-game win streak at home. 20 straight at Pinnacle Bank Arena.
All streaks have to come to an end, you know?
They do. I tell you what, somebody's streak is going to end tonight. Alec Rio, engineer of today's current sports behind the glass. Somebody's streak is going to have to come to an end. That 18-game Big Ten win streak for Michigan State. The current streak that they have this year, the undefeated mark in the Big Ten for Michigan State. And, you know, Nebraska's home win streak of 20 games, 20 straight games on the line tonight as well. This will not be an easy game.
Yeah, these next three games are going to be very challenging.
Without a doubt.
Big Ten matchups for sure.
Without it, I'm totally with you on that. Also, as I noted, the Michigan State women's basketball team returns to the Breslin Center, taking on number 9 Maryland tonight at 6 p.m. You can catch that one on the Big Ten Network. Shelly Till and Mike Monaco on the call. The Spartans are 9-0 this year at home and have a 12-game win streak at home dating back to last year. Michigan State currently sits at 12-4 overall this season and a 2-3 mark in Big Ten play. Maryland is 15-1 this year, 4-1 in Big Ten action. So Maryland sitting atop the Big Ten right now, and Michigan State cluttered, sitting at that 2-3 mark in the Big Ten Conference, trying to shake off what happened in Columbus, Ohio against the Buckeyes this past weekend. All right, Michigan State football's search for a defensive line coach has come to a close, according to a source with knowledge of the situation. Arizona State defensive line coach Sean Nua plans to accept the same position on Jim Harbaugh's staff at Michigan. This news was first reported by 247 Sports yesterday. Now, Michigan has not confirmed the hire or made it official just yet. Nua will leave ASU after 1 year with the Sun Devils and will replace the vacancy created by Greg Madison's departure to Ohio State earlier this month. Also, the Detroit Lions have hired Darrell Bevell as their new offensive coordinator. Now, Bevel replaces Jim Bob Cooter, whose contract was not renewed by the team earlier this month. The Lions ranked 23rd in rushing yards per game, 20th in passing yards per game, 24th in points per game. Bevel was offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks from 2011 to 2017. He was fired after the 2017 year. Bevel helped the Seahawks, though, reach two Super Bowls, including a win against the Denver Broncos. But the 49-year-old is perhaps best known for calling a pass play on the goal line against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Malcolm Butler intercepted that pass, securing the win for the Pats, whose defender at the time was coached by Matt Patricia, the Lions' current head coach. So two opposing forces at the time now working together. All right, and former Lions corner Tony Beckham's job in the NFL was breaking up passes. This is a crazy story. Early Monday morning, he says he broke up a scary situation involving his 14-year-old daughter. Now, according to a report from WPBF in West Palm Beach, Florida, Beckham caught a man masturbating outside his daughter's bedroom window in their Wellington, Florida home. This is what Beckham told WPBF. Quote, I waited for a second and I looked again and I see a white male and he's standing by my window and he's trying to get a better position. Beckham played five seasons in the NFL, including six games. No starts with the Lions in 07, where he made five tackles. He spent his first four seasons with the Tennessee Titans. The report went on to read that Beckham went outside. The man tried to run. Beckham chased him down, and he went on to say they had a conversation, and that conversation led to multiple injuries to this man's face. So justice was served there. All right, former Motown star and R&B legend Gladys Knight will sing the national anthem at this year's Super Bowl, scheduled for February 3rd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the ATL. Knight said in a statement, quote, I am proud to use my voice to unite and represent our country in my hometown of Atlanta. The NFL recently announced their social justice platform, Inspire Change, and I am honored to be a part of its inaugural year. Knight got started in music with her group, Gladys Knight and the Pips, which signed with Motown back in 1966. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 1996 and the Apollo Legends Hall of Fame in 2006. Also, the Detroit Pistons. Yeah, they got a win last night. A pretty big win when it comes to a possible playoff position as the NBA year rolls along. Now, Detroit Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey stopped short of calling last night's game against the Orlando Magic a must-win, but with the Magic, the first opponent of a three-game homestand against teams fighting to remain in playoff contention, just like the Pistons, a sense of urgency was needed. It took a half, but the Pistons did respond. Blake Griffin scored 30 points, including the final 7 points, in leading the Red, White, and Royal Blue to a 120-115 OT victory at Little Caesars Arena. Andre Drummond had 14 points, 22 rebounds, as the Pistons moved ahead of the Magic into ninth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference playoff chase. Luke Kennard had one of his best offensive games of the year with 14 points, 6 of 10 shooting. The Pistons will next host the Miami Heat tomorrow from Little Caesars Arena. Tip time, 7 p.m. Also, this is an interesting story. Even the best of the best need advice at some points. Kyrie Irving, fresh off a frustrating performance and running out of answers, phoned the most unlikeliest of friends. Of course, Kyrie Irving, guard for the NBA's Boston Celtics, formerly with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, where they won an NBA championship. Kyrie went on to say this, quote, I felt the best person to call was him. Him being LeBron James. Because he's been in this situation. He's been there with me. I've been the young guy being a 22-year-old kid, and I want everything. I want everything right now, end quote. How about that? Kyrie calling up his old teammate LeBron James. There were rumors of a beef right before Kyrie decided to go and take his talents to Boston. Frustrations boiled over for Irving after a recent loss to the Orlando Magic, where he publicly criticized the younger teammates on the Celtics. It was that moment that led to Irving revealing this and calling James to apologize for how he acted as a teammate when the two were in Cleveland together. Isn't that sweet? Quote, this was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron and tell him I apologized for being that young player that wanted everything at his fingertips. And I wanted everything at my threshold. So there you have that. Kyrie admitting some fault there when it comes to how he acted immaturely as a young player with LeBron James out in Cleveland. All right, in a country where a lot of negativity has been looming, the Harlem Globetrotters decided that they should do something about it. They announced on Tuesday that the U.S. government employees currently on furlough can get complimentary game tickets. That's great stuff. The Globetrotters are currently on their 2019 fan-powered North American tour, which plans to play 3 games in Houston. Government employees on furlough can show their valid government ID at the box office and receive 2 free tickets while supplies last. But those seeking their complimentary tickets better hurry, as the offer is only valid during the current government shutdown. But we don't really know how long this thing will last. So some good, I guess, coming out of this very bad situation here in America. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR. Go to facebook.com/WKAR news and check out the live stream. I have corrected it. It's on the tripod safely. And you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Chairperson of the Board of Trustees, I move that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby accepts John M. Engler's resignation as interim president of the university with an accelerated date of January 17, 2019, effective immediately. Be it further resolved that Dr. Satish Gupta is hereby appointed acting president of Michigan State University, commencing immediately and continuing until the board appoints a new permanent president. Be it further resolved that the acting president of the university is hereby granted authority to exercise all duties and responsibilities of the president of Michigan State University under the board's bylaws, university policies, resolutions of the board, and otherwise under law. And be it further resolved that the chairperson of the Board of Trustees is hereby authorized to execute such documents and agreements as may be necessary or appropriate in connection with the implementation of this action. I have moved. Is there a second?
I second.
Second by Kelly Teabag. The board secretary will call the roll.
Trustee Bybrum?
Yes.
Trustee Ferguson?
Yes.
Trustee Foster? Not present. Trustee Kelly?
Yes.
Trustee McCollum?
Yes.
Trustee Slifkin?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Teabag?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you. And I would like Dr. Satish Gupta to please stand, our new interim president at Michigan State University. Satish, I am looking forward to working with you in this new capacity, and I'm very excited about the course we will start to chart for Michigan State University beginning immediately. So thank you for accepting this position.
Thank you, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you. We will go to trustees' comments. I will begin, and then we will, then our board secretary will announce the next person in the order that you call our role for trustee comments. I would just like to acknowledge the support of my fellow colleagues on the board to bring us to this day and have a unanimous vote, not only to accept the resignation, but also for the appointment of Satish as our new interim president here at the university. I believe this is the beginning of a better relationship, both among board members and to the MSU community, as we continue the healing and pay respect to the survivors. MSU's been working hard to make needed improvements regarding the prevention of and the response to sexual misconduct and relationship violence, as well as enhancing patient care and safety. But none of our work will matter if our leaders say hurtful things and do not listen to survivors. Engler's statements regarding survivors of sexual assault have been extremely hurtful and do not reflect the values of our university. The board deeply regrets the impact on survivors and to the community. The board appreciates all the MSU community collectively does to keep the university dedicated to its mission of advancing knowledge and transforming lives. We are diligently seeking a new leader to continue our healing and to guide our campus to achieve our aspirations in integrity, inclusion, research, and education. Madam Secretary, would you please call on my fellow colleagues for their comments?
Trustee Teabe.
I just want to say I, of course, agree with my colleagues, but a wrong has been righted today. And the first thing I have to say is I'm sorry it took so long. To the survivors and your families and this community, we hear you and we're listening and we are sorry it took so long. I really hope this is the first step in a long road to really changing the culture of this institution that we all love so much. This is an important day, and I think this is a day we will all remember when the ship turned around, and we're going to right this. Satish, I'm so grateful for your willingness to step into this role, and I ask that everyone embraces him and to help him lead us through this until we find our next president. And may we all focus on that our next president is the right person that understands this community that we all love and how important it is for us to move forward together and to hear each other and to listen and to be open to ideas and to not just be the status quo and to do things because that's the way they've always been done and to challenge one another, as Brianna said, to always think of how can we do this better, how can we be better, and how can we work together. So thank you all for, you know, trusting us to make this decision. And I hope that you've gained a little bit of faith back in your board that we can make good decisions. And thank you for your patience. And again, I'm very sorry it took so long. So thank you.
Thank you. That concludes trustee comments.
All right, that was audio from this morning's Board of Trustees meeting that officially confirmed the resignation of now former interim president here at Michigan State University. John Engler accepted unanimously that resignation by the board. And Michigan State now has a new interim president, that being Satish Upta, who now replaces Engler. So just a little background about Upta's job before the board did, in fact, name him interim president. He was the school's executive vice president for administrative services. That means he was basically in charge of the university's human resources department, also IT department, facilities department, Office of Planning and Budgets, the Land Management Office, and the facility for rare isotope beams. So, and that's a new facility that is being built right now that would allow scientists to study rare isotopes. So, and also before becoming an executive vice president, he was the dean of the College of Engineering for 7 years. So You know, a lot of mixed reaction out there from Michigan State alum that I know, Michigan State students. I think there's a consensus here that this was the right move, period. We shouldn't have gotten to this point in the first place. There were many that criticized the move when it first happened to hire a politician in John Engler, former governor of the state of Michigan. And, you know, as I laid out on yesterday's Current Sports, during his very short tenure as interim president, he did a lot of damage. Just misstep after misstep. And then the final straw, I guess, was the comments that he made concerning Larry Nassar survivors enjoying the quote unquote spotlight. And, compliments to the board. You know, you heard the voices of Diane Byram, who is the chair of the board. And you also heard Kelly Tebay. That was the final voice you heard. Tebay apologizing to the Larry Nassar survivors and stating that a wrong has been righted today. Other members of the board, Brianna T. Scott, Nancy Schittling, also Brian Masalem, Dan Kelly, who's the vice chair, Melanie Foster, as well as Joel Ferguson, all present during this morning's Board of Trustees meeting. It was a media scrum indeed, as there were many media outlets there interviewing and talking to some survivors. I think I saw Kaylee Lorentz, who was there present as well. And, hopefully I think this is a step in the right direction. And from what I've been reading about Satish Upta since this morning, he seems to be an all-around great man for this job. So we'll see what happens. So, again, if you have any thoughts on this, again, if you missed what I had to say about this, I'm not going to spend, 15, 20 minutes on kind of laying out what I think about this. And because I told you yesterday, if you missed yesterday's Current Sports, we dedicated basically the entire hour to this conversation. It's long overdue. John Engler needed to go a long time ago. He was the wrong hire. He constantly stuck his foot in his mouth and displayed an unsympathetic attitude during a time where Michigan State was going through and still going through the most challenging time in university history. And this move is the right move. Long overdue, but thank you, Board of Trustees, for finally doing the right thing here. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number if you would like to call in and let your voice be heard on it. Also, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports and tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Alec Rio, behind the glass, you have something.
Yeah. So apparently back then when he was governor in the 1990s, Engler had like a similar response when it came to the story where a bunch of women, prison inmates.
Yeah, we brought this up yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
Connor Mathis, engineer of yesterday's Current Sports, because what happened was we had one of our listeners, I believe it was Mike, comment on our Facebook page, and he said basically that this wasn't and this hasn't been the first time that Governor Engler has mishandled a situation of a similar magnitude. And we're like, what, really? So Connor did some research and boom, brought up the situation that you're talking about. I mean, there's been breadcrumbs, Alec. There's been breadcrumbs when it comes to John Engler, saying the wrong things and not handling situations of immense sensitivity, handling it the wrong way. So, again, long overdue, and hopefully, finally, we are moving into a place of healing here at Michigan State University. We do have a caller right now on line one. What is it, Jason right now? Jason is on line one. Jason, what's up, my man? The floor is yours.
Hey, brother, what's going on?
I'm well, man. Happy Thursday.
Hey, happy Thursday to you. Well, it's good to finally hear Engler's out of there. Yes, he has done a lot of bad you know, hiring Beekman as AD and stuff like that. Not a good thing. Not anybody that really has a background in athletics got put into the position. So hopefully he'll be on his way out shortly once we get a new president elected. You know, the chairman of the board, I've known Diane for quite a few years growing up in the Holt Mason area. So I think she's done a good job stepping up and, you know, taking the lead on everything. So, yeah, the way that Engler bashed the Nassar survivors was wrong. And, you know, I think the community finally was duly noted on it and took care of one of the problems that we had. And, I mean, on top of the President Simonson stuff and, you know, Hollis sweeping some stuff under the board, supposedly. Nothing ever proved on him. But, you know, I think it's a good step for the university to go this way now. And it's just now to see who they're going to bring in to lead the Spartan Nation, you know, on the administrative side to where we belong as a university. So can't wait to watch the Nebraska game this evening. Going to be great to see how the guys stand up against, you know, four guys that are scoring in double figures every game out there for Nebraska. So we'll see what happens with Aarons and Langford being on the bench and our freshman Gabe and Aaron having to step up for us.
Yeah, and they certainly did last game, and that's first off, a few interesting points you bring up, Jason, because I also had the same thought and have the same thought as you. You know, now that John Engler is no longer the interim president here at Michigan State University, will his hire, what will happen with his hire of Bill Beekman, an individual who, you know, and no fault to Bill. I mean, he came into a position, he was kind of thrusted into that position, and from all accounts, talking to some student athletes that I know and other administrators, you know, he has tried to figure this thing out and talk and meet with the different coaches here at Michigan State. But when you don't have an athletics background and have never been in the situation where you are an AD or in a position that is close to that at a Big Ten university where athletics are huge here at MSU, it's kind of tough to do that job. So what will happen with the hire of Bill Beekman? Will they keep him in that role, or will they, like you just stated, Jason, wait until a new president is hired and then go from there? And also your point about Nebraska, yeah, tonight will not be an easy game for Michigan State. I mean, right now Nebraska is scoring 78.5 points per game this year, and they are riding a 20-game win streak at home. This will not be an easy one. And again, Josh Langford will be out for, I believe, what will be a fifth straight game. And we don't know about Kyle Arnes. Maybe he's a game time decision. I haven't heard any updates on him.
From what I heard from the press conference,
doesn't look like he's going to play, right?
It's a day to day thing with that strained back.
Right. So, right. Exactly.
You know, it's kinda up in the air, but you know, as I spoke to you earlier in the year, you know, definitely like some of the stuff that Henry and Brown have been doing. You know,
they've had
true freshmen that have stepped up into the role. I'm just waiting to see the Michigan Power Boys step up. I'm waiting to see Kithier come in and do something. You know,
right?
Because you know he was so highly touted being there at Clarkston, and you know having Foster Lawyer, even though Kithier didn't get to play because of his transfer, you know, he is still one of the better players to come out of the state, along with Foster Lawyer, and even going back into the time of Mateen, Mopi, and Charlie out of Flint. You know, you know, I'd like to see what the Michigan-grown kid can do because we haven't been able to see him play much.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason for that. I think, you know, if Tom hasn't played, you know, Kithier, and he really hasn't. I mean, he's gotten in for a few minutes here and there during blowouts, but if he hasn't played him, I think the time sees that maybe he's not ready just yet. But again, I'm with you on Gabe Brown and Aaron Henry, especially Aaron Henry. That's a young man who has a bright future. He is not scared. He's fearless, and that is something that Michigan State is going to need from him, especially in light of the absence of Josh Langford. Jason, great call. Thank you, man.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. Be easy.
Appreciate it, man. You be easy as well. All right line two, before we hit our first break, and we welcome Jim Comperoni, publisher of SpartanMag.com, to the show. We've got Rick from Grand Rapids that wants to chime in. Rick, welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, I just want you to listen a minute. Quarterback A has played in a tough division, a tough conference, has won 100% of his Super Bowl. Quarterback B, okay conference, and arguably the worst conference division of any pro team in the last 15 years, pro conference in 15 years, and has lost 40% of his Super Bowl. Who do you think would be better?
Well, if you lay it out just with that knowledge, I would say quarterback A.
Yeah. And plus, quarterback B, whether it was right or not, was caught cheating, and their team has been caught spying.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, I just get so sick of all this stuff. Sure, he's great. He is. But I don't know. I just thought I'd chime in. And then how is Kyler Murray able to be in the pro draft? Did he play another year in college football somewhere before Oklahoma?
I'm not sure if I don't think so.
Don't you have to get to play with at least your third year of your graduating class or something?
If you want to be eligible for the NFL draft?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you just got to play 1 year.
Oh,
that's it.
It was basketball.
Yeah,
and
even in basketball, it's the one-and-done rule, man. I mean, you can leave. If you feel like you're ready, you know, hey, you can test the waters.
Basketball, I knew, but I wasn't sure. And one more thing, how's Errol doing?
Is it? Hold on. Give me one second. Is it 3 years, Jack? I thought it was 1 year.
No, for football. That's why Trevor Lawrence, there was an article from Wall Street Journal last week that Trevor Lawrence should sit out the next 2 years because he's already won a national championship and he's going to be the number one prospect, but he can't go pro for another 2 years.
When did that change? How long has that been that way?
As long as I've known.
Yeah, you got me there. Learn something new every day.
Murray on the draft then.
Okay, well, that's new news to me then, Rick.
Then one more thing. How's Earl doing?
I'm not sure. You know, Earl Robinson, of course, the man, the myth, the legend before I got here, I have not heard in a while how he's doing. But I will say the last time I did hear about him, he was doing okay. But that was a couple of years ago. So
well, keep up the good work, Al. You're doing great to follow Earl. Don't ever think you're doing anything short. You're doing a great job. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate those kind words. Thank you so much, man. And thank you for listening.
You bet. Bye.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will indeed have Jim Comparoni of SpartanMag.com on the show. Jim will help us preview tonight's Michigan State men's basketball matchup against Nebraska. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A little J-Rock for you on this Thursday, January 17th. Shout out to Alec Rio behind the glass. I love that track, man.
Same.
Question, do you know who sings the chorus?
I can't tell you, honestly.
You know what? This didn't hit me until 2 days ago when I was listening to this track because I'm a huge fan of his. I think he will go down as the greatest hip-hop artist of all time. It is Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, I figured.
Because it makes sense.
TDE. It's TDE, so I figured it was one of them.
Right. Kendrick actually co-wrote the song.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's him screaming.
Yeah, I could have sworn his mom here. Saying.
Right, yeah, he's on the chorus. So shout out to Kendrick Lamar, man. I tell you, I'm waiting. Kendrick, you got to drop something soon, man.
Same thing with Schoolboy Q.
Yeah, right. I'm dying for new Kendrick music right now because the hip-hop out right now is just trash. It really is. I mean, I was sitting there listening to a Soulja Boy interview yesterday.
Oh, Breakfast Club.
On the Breakfast Club. And I'm Soulja Boy brought up some good points, too. All right, I could keep going with this conversation. I won't bore our audience right now. I'm pretty sure most of them aren't hip-hop fans. Let's transition now to our guest for today's Current Sports. We finally got him. I tell you what, man, he's a big fish, man. And it's tough to catch him sometimes, but we got him. Here on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, and he's going to help us preview tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. Again, a big game for the Spartans on the road at Nebraska. This will not be easy. Michigan State men's basketball riding an 18-game conference win streak. quite remarkable, taking on a very hot Nebraska team at home. I mean, they're riding a pretty nice streak of themselves at home. So right now, let's go to line one. We've got Jim Comperoni, publisher of SpartanMag.com, now joining Current Sports. Jim, thank you so much for your time, my man. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on your show. I love your show. I'd rather talk a little more hip-hop, though. One thing I'd like to see in hip-hop, I'd like to see one or some of those guys pick up the guitar again. I mean, I'm from the old school. I mean, Michael Jackson had a lot of guitar in his stuff, Prince. Even back Kool & the Gang and those guys, I think that's been forgotten. I'd like to see somebody bring that. Just bring it back. So I think there's some avenues that they could. We need some freshness with that instrument too, because
I mean, that.
You go back a long way to, I don't know, go way back to Lightning Hopkins and those guys, or Albert King, or Chuck Berry and Jimi Hendrix. I mean, it's been so important over the years. It needs to be picked back up, Al.
I hear it, Jim. I have been, you know, it's so crazy, dude. I was having this conversation with my stepdad over the holiday break, and we were watching, man, like old school Michael Jackson and Prince videos, and we were saying, man, yeah, you don't see a lot of, first off, you don't see a lot of live instruments during a hip-hop performance anymore, with the exception of a few, like Kendrick Lamar. And I went to a concert at Madison Square Garden last summer, and I got a chance to see, I don't know if you know this brother, but he's tearing it up in the music world right now, and I think he's the closest thing to Prince that we've seen since Prince, and that's Childish Gambino. The dude had a live band the entire performance. He had guitars, he had bass, I mean, he had pianos. It was amazing. But I'm totally with you, Jim. We need to bring that back. I hear you.
He's not necessarily a rapper, but have you guys heard of Metro Boomin?
I have
yeah,
heard of
him. He likes to sample a bunch of different instruments in his beats.
Right, and that's the thing, sampling. You know, like sampling. You know what I mean? I want to hear something original. Give me something original today, Alec. I hear you, though.
Oh, yeah.
But look at you. I'm impressed, Jim. Look at you, you know, educating our listeners and myself on your musical prowess. I love that, Jim.
Yeah, and I would like to see some of these talented young guys that are out there right now just use some of those arrangements and
right.
delve back into this. I'd be real interested to see what they would come up with, because I think there's some... We need them to pick that guitar back up, man.
I hear you, man. Bring it back. Bring the guitar back. Hashtag bring the guitar back. I think that should like trend today.
Right.
All right, Jim, let's dive into some sports talk now. First off, before we talk about tonight's Michigan State and Nebraska matchup, I just want to get your overall thoughts and impressions on what you've seen this year from Michigan State men's basketball, because especially in light of the loss of Josh Langford, this team hasn't missed a beat. Even though I do believe when it comes to certain aspects of the game, they are certainly missing him. But what are your thoughts on what you've seen from the Spartans so far this season?
You know, the cliche is they're moving the ball better, and I think that's true. And they're doing it with guys that are 21 years old now instead of 20, just older guys out there that play together better, know each other another year more. We knew that Nick Ward had improved his body and all that stuff, but I didn't know if it was going to manifest itself so well as it has with him in transition. I know, you know, Izzo always wants his five to run that transition, that middle lane in the fast break, and run it fast and run it tirelessly. I never knew that Ward would be maybe the best he's ever had at that. And if he does not get the ball in transition, he's able to camp out down low and get it low on the block, get it in deep in the early offense, the secondary break. Those two things have been lethal for Michigan State. I mean, teams know they're going to try to stop it, and maybe here recently Big Ten teams have gotten better at that, and we will see if Michigan State can get that transition game going again against Nebraska. You know, we know that Cassius Winston has all this talent, all these skills, but that stop-and-go dribble looks even better this year because I think he's faster, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When he's hitting the gas pedal, he's always had some quickness, but he's got more quickness. It seems to me when I watch him live, I'm like, I'll see him do something. I'm like, did he have that gear last year? I think he's a little bit faster and just a little bit better with the feel for changing speeds. He's always been able to change speeds and get to where he wants to go with the dribble. But I think he's kind of figured out the college level a little more. Being 21 has something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think there's a little more speed at point guard, a little more knowledge at point guard, and the change of pace, getting his shoulder inside of people. Between those two, they're the battery that makes it run from inside out. And then those other guys around him are real good satellites that are continuing to come along.
No, that is so true, Jim. And you look at what's taken place so far this year? And I'm with you. I think Cassius Winston, you know, when he plays well and when he has that balance of, you know, not just facilitating the basketball, but also scoring, you know, that gives Michigan State a good chance to beat anyone in the country. And, you know, when it comes to Cassius Winston, though, and it's the thing, you know, when it comes to tonight's game, Jim, you know, they had 17 turnovers in that game against Penn State, and Cassius did not have his best game. What must happen in order to give Michigan State the best chance to come away with this pretty big road victory tonight?
You know, Winston and Ward have to be outstanding. They've got to carry the team. They got to stay out of foul trouble. I think that was the deal with Winston against Penn State. When he got the third foul, and one of them was a charge and a bad call, I think he was afraid to penetrate after that. I think you could see it. And a lot of those turnovers, if you go back and watch it, there were times when the normal, usual Cassius would go ahead and change gears and penetrate and get in the lane and make a play for himself or someone else. You could see him put on the brakes, rethink it, decide not to penetrate, and that's when he'd throw it away. One time he decided not to penetrate, and he got back-tipped, and it took away his transition gas also. I think the foul trouble led to some of those turnovers, and it kind of just it changed the rhythm of the offense, which led to some problems. That could happen again in terms of turnovers. I mean, Michigan State's never going to be clear of that 15, 16, 17 turnover type of game. That can happen at any time. But I think the Penn State thing was a little bit of an isolated incident based on some terrible officiating. I don't rip on officiating very often. Usually I'm in a bad call. It's like a bad hop. You just play it, whatever. But I think it did have an impact on his game. Now, you know, and this game tonight, I mean, when you don't have Arns, I assume he's not going to play.
Right.
And Langford's definitely not going to play. So now Matt McQuaid can only basically be a wing. I don't think they can use McQuaid as much as a backup point guard, and they've been relying on him. He's not the best backup point guard, but he's serviceable, and he's experienced, and he's mature. But without him, you have to play Lawyer a little bit more backup point guard. And he played well offensively the other night. Yeah, he drew a couple charges. But Lawyer going on the road tonight against this guy Watson, the senior.
Yeah.
Watson's a killer. And he can shoot, and Watson always used to be kind of an average shooter. This year he's 41% from three. He's legitimately a good shooter, and he can drive, and he's strong. And, I mean, if you play Lawyer on offense, I don't know who he guards at the other end, because Allen, the sophomore, number 12, he's a really good shooter, and he can drive also. He definitely can't guard Palmer. Lawyer can't. Mm-hmm. So when you get into matchups, you know, I mean, Michigan State without Arns and Langford, everybody knows they have to play Henry more and they have to play Gabe Brown a lot. Now, Henry's a physically mature freshman, but you're still asking freshmen to go on the road tonight to match up against seniors at their house. And that's where winning streaks go to die when you have things like that going on.
That is so true, Jim. And that's the thing about Nebraska. They have experience. They have length at that guard position. And just like you stated, I don't see Foster Lawyer matching up against, you know, especially James Palmer, who's 6'6", senior guard, averaging 19 points. And then you brought up Glenn Watson, who's averaging 13.5 points per game. You know, there's going to be some interesting matchups. And I think, you know, Izzo made the point earlier this week that we probably won't see, which we've seen at times so far this year, Jim, you know, both Cassius Winston and Foster Lawyer on the court together. Yeah. I think that just spells death on the defensive side of the basketball. So matchups are going to be key tonight, right?
Absolutely. I think the only way you could get away with playing those two is if you played zone, you know, like Gonzaga has done in the past.
Right, right.
And Michigan State tinkered around with it back in, you know, during training camp in August and November, but we've not seen it all year. For whatever reason, they decided not to go with it. I think that they were serious about researching it and implementing it, but Izzo's just never gone ahead with it. Ironically, tonight would be a night to do it. You know, I was watching a replay of Nebraska's loss at Iowa back on January 6th. They lost 93-84, and Iowa played well, and they shot well. But Nebraska did score 84 points, but you got the sense that Nebraska was out of their rhythm because Iowa played zone all night. And they extended it to three-quarter court trapping zone on occasion to also throw off Nebraska's rhythm. Michigan State doesn't do that. A lot of this game is matchups, and the matchups without Langford, without Arns, seniors versus freshmen, the matchups can get ugly. With Palmer at 6'6", I mean, Michigan State fans will look at him. Think about this for a visual when you watch Palmer tonight. He's not as skinny as Steve Smith was, and he's not as good. But I swear his skeletal togetherness is very much like Steve Smith. He even has that, you know, that spin dribble fake and back the other way that Steve Smith had.
Right.
And it, when he drives and dips his shoulders, and his stature just looks like Steve Smith. Now, he will drive and kick to set others up like Smith used to do. He's a pretty good outside shooter, good in-between shooter, pretty good rebounder. Maybe a little bit more scattered with his, you know, sometimes he'll go cold. I mean, Steve Smith was a first-team All-American. I'm not saying Palmer's a first-team All-American. But at home, and they've got number 6 Michigan State coming to their place,
right?
Nebraska will be on their best behavior. You will get Nebraska's A game tonight.
Yes, you will. And, you know, they're riding right now a 2-game win streak, win against Penn State and against Indiana. That's their last victory. And, again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the publisher of SpartanMag.com, my man, 100 grand, Jim Comperoni. Jim, before we get you out of here, I want to get your overall thoughts on the Big Ten Conference because, you know, right now it's Michigan State, and then everybody else. You got Maryland, you know, not too far behind. I mean, sitting at 6-1 in the conference, for goodness sake, and then an overall record of 15-3. But I just want to get your thoughts. Is this just a two-man horse race as we continue on throughout the Big Ten year?
I got to watch Maryland a little bit more, you know, at 15-3 and 6-1 in the Big Ten. I mean, those are nice numbers, and they've got some good wins. But right now, yeah, it looks like Michigan and Michigan State, a couple of top 10 teams. And we'll know a little bit more about Michigan State tonight, even though they're hampered. I mean, if Michigan State can go and win this game in Nebraska shorthanded, I will be even more impressed with Michigan State. But right now, it's those two, I would say. You know, the interesting thing is how many of these teams in the Big Ten, you know, Purdue got a win the other night. Now they're 4-2 in the Big Ten. But recently, everybody, you had Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, and then you had like 6 teams that were all 3-3 or 3-2 or 2-3.
Yeah.
You know, going, you know, Ohio State's 2-3, Minnesota's 3-3, Wisconsin's 3-3, Nebraska's 3-3, Indiana's 3-3, Iowa's 4-3, and now Purdue is up to 4-2 after a victory. But those teams, Purdue, Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio State, all pretty good on a given night. And I think it's going to be that way all year. I think you throw a blanket over all those guys, they're just going to stick around 500 all year. I think they're going to beat each other up. And Purdue, ironically, is a team that didn't have a lot of wins in the non-conference. 4-2 looks pretty good in the Big Ten right now, but they're 11-6 overall.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, Ohio State looked great in the non-conference, and now they're 2-3. So, I mean, when it comes time for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee to figure out if they're only going to take 7 teams, finding the difference between number 5 and number 10 in the Big Ten, it's going to be razor thin. So you might see 8 or 9 going for the Big Ten because, among other reasons, you know, the Pac-12 is expected to have way fewer teams than normal. So maybe the Big Ten picks up a few more because the Pac-12 is down. But, you know, making it through this slalom course in the Big Ten without taking on some losses is going to be what determines the Big Ten champion. And Michigan State's got a tough obstacle against a Nebraska team that's 3-3 in the Big Ten, but coming off, I mean, they just took Indiana apart the other night.
They did.
You know, Indiana was ranked number 25 in the country. Nebraska took them apart 66-51, held Indiana to their lowest scoring output of the year.
Right. I mean, quite amazing, right? I mean, and I'm right there with you, Jim. I think when it's tourney time and the selection committee has to sit down and evaluate the Big Ten, oh my goodness, I'm sure they're going to be pulling their hair out because I think just a lot of these teams are just going to beat up on each other. You're going to have a lot of just jumbled records come March. But Jim, thank you so much for your time, man. Again, if you're just now tuning in, where have you been? The great Jim Comperoni, publisher of SpartanMag.com. Jim, we hope to get you back on soon, my friend.
That sounds great. You know, I clued in the people on our website over there at SpartanMag.com that I was going to be on the show, but I didn't tell them until just within the hour. Next time, I'll let them know more ahead of time. We'll get some crossover for you.
That sounds great, Jim. Thank you so much, brother. I'll see you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports with a brief edition of Throwback Thursday. Thank you.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It is Thursday, and each and every Thursday we try to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. A few items of note here. On this day, January 17th, way back in 1916, the Professional Golfers Association was formed in New York City. On this date, back in 1963, Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain, then of the San Francisco Warriors, scored 67 points against Los Angeles. And you know what? I've been raving about James Harden for a while now in the current streak he has of now 20 straight games, averaging 40 points per game. Get this. This is the company that he's in. James has done it 20 times. Rick Barry has done it 22 consecutive games. Kobe, 23. Elgin Baylor, 33 straight games, averaging 40 points per game. If you had to guess real quick, Alec, how many consecutive games averaging 40 points per game Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain did it, how many games would you say?
I would have to say maybe 15.
Oh, wow. So less than James Harden, you would go. Because James has done it 20 straight games.
Okay, 20 straight games. 22. Okay, well, no, way higher than that.
What would you say real quick with a minute left?
40.
Get this. 500.
500 consecutive?
515 straight games averaging 40 points per game.
That's unheard of.
Insane. I've never heard of a stat like that until last night. I said, that's crazy. I had to, like, my eyes almost fell out of their sockets when I was reading that last night on ESPN. Crazy. Also, in 1996, Steve Yzerman became the 22nd player in NHL to score 500 goals for the Wings. 1999, the Atlanta Falcons beat the Minnesota Vikings to advance
Steve
to the Super
Yzerman?
Bowl. Yeah, Yzerman. Yeah, that's what you, Stevie Y.
Steve Yzerman.
Oh, same thing. Tomato, tomato. 2002, the city of Los Angeles had Muhammad Ali Day as well. All right, that wraps up your Throwback Thursday, folks. We'll see you Friday. Be easy, people.